The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Go ahead and pray the Holy Ghost. 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 Come on, pray the Holy Ghost. You take cities in the place of prayer. 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 Begin to pray for your city. Begin to pray for your school. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Help will come. 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 Begin to pray. The gospel is more effective on Pentecost. The preaching of the gospel is more effective. Abandonedness. Ay 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 barada ba komarada ba shanda da ba sanaya. The preaching of the gospel is more effective on bended knees. It's more effective on bended knees. It's more effective on bended knees. Because the man that prays will always receive the fruit of prayer. The fruit of prayer will always come to the man that prays. To the man that prays. Tonight, the result of prayer will always come to the man that prayed. That's the truth. The man that is asking for revival in a city will always see the revival. It won't go to someone else that is not praying. The church that is praying for revival
will be the church that will bring the revival in the city. It will be another church. And it's true. The result of prayer will go to the man that prayed. And the preaching of the gospel is more effective on bended knees. It's more effective on bended knees. The preaching of the gospel is more effective on bended knees. And so when you don't pray, you already preparing yourself not to see the results of revival in your city. I told you guys yesterday, and I'm going to continue that today. Ministry is supernatural. Very, very. You can't do it with your own effort. And one major way to engage supernatural is in the place of prayer. We are talking about supernatural ministry this year. I'm teaching on the supernatural church. You should begin to take it home. Supernatural ushering, supernatural evangelism, supernatural singing. Everything we do for Jesus must be done with the help of the Spirit. And you assess that help in the place of prayer. The man that does not pray is a proud man. He says he's saying he doesn't need God. That's the truth. That's pride. They're saying, God, I can do without you. Hallelujah. One of the things that must characterize the 2022 is prayer. And a lot and a lot and a lot of it. Prayers. 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 It's better to pray wrong than not to pray at all. Are you getting me? It's better you don't even know the word, you are praying wrong prayers, than not to pray at all with all the knowledge in your head. The knowledge that has taken you away from the place of prayer was a wrong knowledge. You didn't get it well. The right knowledge will push you to the place of prayer. The apostle said we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the truth. Paul will say, I wish that, he said, first of all, prayers and supplication be made for men. First of all, so prayer must be prioritized in our meetings. First of all, prayers. Before we step to the field to preach, prayers. While we are preaching to them, prayers. When we come back from the field, prayers. That's how we can see the result of ministry. And I want your prayer this year to be different. There are two kinds of prayer we've been emphasizing for some time now. One of them is fellowship. Where you just get to the place of prayer, you are not asking for anything, you are just praying, enjoying God's presence. The second type is praying for sinners. Praying for your city. I get to the point. Where you just get and you just pick your city and you begin to pray. See, you better have a passion to see your city saved. That's why have you marched around your city in tongues? You see, some things you should have a passion. When you get into a school, the first thing that comes to your mind is, how can this school be saved? Have you marched through your streets in tongues? We call it prayer walk. But it's not just about praying for yourself. You are praying for the city. Wheresoever the sole of my feet shall step, I will possess it. Enora matira batora bateva rada. This street is for Jesus. Yeah. 6 months, you're doing it every day. When you go out to preach, people will begin to respond to you in a way you never expected. Because the result of prayer, we go to the one that prays. That's the truth. Go to the man that prayed. If you go to another person, take it upon yourself and begin to intercede for your city, for your school, for your environment. We want to see the nation saved. We want to see our city saved. We want to see, that's what we are going for this year. Ministry by the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, that thing you want to do with your efforts, that evangelism, if you can just pray, things will be easier. If you can just pray, things will be easier. If you can just pray, many things prayer will do in outreach, things you never expected. You see this thing called miracles. The Bible calls it walking of miracle. You know what it means? You walk it. Miracle don't just happen. You walk miracle. You know, after mathematics, they say show your walking. Every miracle has a process. You walk miracles. One of the ways to start the process of miracles is to pray. Prayers precede miracles. And let me even add, prayers sustain miracles. Prayers precede revival. Prayers sustain revival. So you must pay attention to prayer this year. Help comes in the place of prayer. Because prayer is an indication to God that you need Him and you can't do without Him. That is true in reality, that you need God, you can't do without Him. But then you tell Him when you begin to pray. Hallelujah. Help will come for you. And our cities will be taken. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So you just say that I'm going to teach for say an hour. And we start praying again. Glory to God. So I continue the supernatural church. You know, we laid the very, very solid foundations last night. Hallelujah. Very solid foundations. I told you guys something yesterday. The local church is the most powerful place on earth. You don't know. That's the most powerful place on earth. For whatever power means for you, the church is the most powerful place on earth. If power means making things happen, the church is the most powerful place. If power means taking decisions, aha, a church. The Bible said if two or three of you shall agree concerning a matter, the kind of power that is present whenever we are gathered, even we don't know half of it. Amen. So the most powerful place to be at any time is in the church. In the church. And it's amazing. Now I was telling you yesterday, even you as an individual, you are powerful. You as a human being, as a believer, without God, without crowd, you are fully powerful. I would say you are complete in Him. Now I was asking, imagine when we all now gather with all our power, with everything that God has put in us, and we come together. That's why, can I say this to you? You have a project in your ministry, in your church, on yourself this year. Nothing shall be impossible for you. You don't realize what happens when we come together to do a project. This is we bringing all the abilities that God has put in us to attempt that thing. That thing cannot fail. I don't get the point. We are bringing all the abilities that God has put in us to attempt something. That thing cannot fail. That thing cannot fail. Glory to God. Thank you. That thing cannot fail. And so it's the most powerful place on earth. And you know, I close this day by telling us that we must convert the things of the Spirit. That in a supernatural local church, everybody is converting spiritual things. The supernatural is for every believer. And every believer must convert it. And I told you yesterday, if you are converting what is not yours, then you are a thief. The Bible teaches against covetousness. The reason we can convert supernatural things is because they are ours in the first place. Do you understand the point? Everything that is of God is true of you too. Whatever that resides in God resides in you. Whatever one believer can do, all believers can do. Whatever one believer does, every believer can do. What one believer cannot do, no believer can do. That is what we call fellowship. That's why we say we share these things in fellowship. And so we must all convert supernatural things. And not just convert to possess them. We must convert to flow in them, to manifest them, and we must step out and begin to manifest them. We must step out and begin to flow in them. We must step out and begin to manifest them. And talking about stepping out, I want to say to you, the supernatural does not happen when you sit down in your house. If you want to see the fullness of the power of God, go to the street. Yeah. It doesn't happen when you sit down in your house. It happens when you hit the street. It happens when you engage people on the road. It happens when you visit the hospital. It happens when you step out. And so this year, we are going to step out. At a supernatural church. In a supernatural church, everybody flows in the Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible said they were all in one accord. They were gathered in that upper room in one accord. And there came a sound. In verse 2, as of a rushing mighty wind. As of a rushing mighty wind. And then there were tongues of fire that sat on their head. Now, in verse 3, okay, verse 3 talks about the tongues of fire that sat on their head. Then in verse 4, it now says every one of them. They were all, not one or two, all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with other tongues. Now, every one of them. Every one of them. That's the true supernatural church. is not a church of superstars. Where pastor is just standing here. Say there is somebody here. Your name is this. Your name is that. And we're all clapping for him. Yet, no other believer can do it. Because that's Daddy Gio. Or that is Mommy Gio. Do you get the point? The proper way is that if pastor can say, there is someone here. Your phone number is 090-6040. Every other believer in that church should be trained to also come out and say the same thing. That's the supernatural church. Are you following me, guys? They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You will never find a place in the church in the Bible where there was a flow, in a meeting where they had spiritual flow, and it didn't happen to all of them. No place. Acts 2, they all speak with other tongues. Acts 4, they all began to prophesy. Acts 19, Paul met 12 men and asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we did not even know there was a Holy Ghost. After all that, Bible said the 12 of them began to prophesy and speak with tongues. All of them. Because all of them have the ability. And all of them have been taught. That was what I was talking about teaching last night. That we must teach people to flow in these things. And everybody must learn it and practice it. Everybody. Hallelujah. So they spoke with other tongues. All of them. Not one or two of them. All of them. You read the story, you know, in Acts chapter 6. They now had to appoint 7 guys that will serve tables. Take note. 7 guys that will serve tables. So they appointed the likes of Stephen, the likes of Philip, who we are in church. Now, I always use this example. To serve tables, we can quantify that in church today as ushers. Do you understand? Their job was to carry food and distribute. So they were just ordinary church members. The hands were laid on them. By next verse, Stephen began to work miracles. They killed him. Chapter 8, Philip went to Samaria and put up Acts chapter 8 verse 4. But there was mighty miracles by Philip. Philip, who was an usher, the kind of news we want to hear this year is that some ushers went to somewhere. Somebody in the creativity unit went to somewhere. And they're asking you, are you a pastor? You say, no. A minister? No. A leader in your church? No. What are you? I'm a member. Glory to God. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching. All of them went out. All of them went out. Now, not some, all. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, see verse 6. And the people with one accord gave it unto those which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies, and that we are lame, we are healed. Philip. An usher. That's the church we're talking about. A church is not yet qualified to be called a supernatural church. If it's just the pastor and one or two people that can heal the sick. Just the pastor, one or two people that can prophesy. There is a church, you know, there are churches where speaking in tongues is a big deal. Before you speak in tongues, you have to pass through some levels. We're talking about a church where everyone has access to the flow of spirit. Now, all of us, remember, we are all supernatural. In fact, the church itself is supernatural. Amen? But we're talking about the church where everybody has learned this, everybody has realized it, and everybody is flowing in it equally. Maybe not equally because people will grow at different levels, but everybody is at least flowing in it. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? Everybody is flowing in it. And I can tell you guys, pastors, ministers, leaders, and everybody here, this is the answer to what we call church growth. When we have a fully supernatural church, this is the answer to church growth. Do you realize, I was studying church growth recently, you know, because whenever God is about to bring us into a new season as a church, I have to do some studies and all that. And I was studying church growth because I know God is about to give us massive, massive growth this year. More than we've ever seen. But I had to start doing some studies on it. And then, I noticed that the early church, they did not have camera. There was no Facebook to post their services so that people would see it and come.
They didn't have stage lights, colored lights. They didn't even have excellence, as you call it excellence today. They didn't have hall. But they were growing. Are you getting the point? One day, 3,000 people added. The next day, 5,000 people. See that church growth. And people were added daily, every day, every day. Without mic. Without Facebook. They didn't have any media team. They didn't have technical. Amen. You notice it was around chapter 6. That's why one of the things you cannot do if you want to learn church leadership, one of the things that, or church administration, one major place you struggle if you want to learn it from is book of Acts. They didn't have it. It was even around chapter 6 that for the first time, then I said, you notice that things were so scattered. It's the apostles that will preach, that the ones that will share food, that the ones. It was in Acts, they said, okay, let's appoint people. Do you understand the point? There was nothing was proper. But they were growing. Their strategy was the supernatural. Nothing else. They will get to the beautiful gate, get one person walking, one lame person walking. The city will gather to hear them. Who is following me at all? The answer to church growth, the real church growth, is not in decoration. Of course, you now emphasize all those things. If you flop, I will deal with you. But it's not even in choir singing, whatever. Those things are good. When we get to some of those things, I will show you their place. But if the reason you are doing all those things so that people church will start growing, if it will never grow, if it ever grows, you are having pseudo growth. Because you are attracting people that you don't need. You know something? We put up comedy shows to grow church. If people you brought by comedy, people that the attraction to the church was comedy, they are not your members. Those type cannot go with evangelism. You see that type that came by comedy? They can't. That type, if you put 4 hours prayer, you will not see them. Real church growth happens in two ways. The real church growth. First is spiritual growth of members. Second is now numerical growth. Where there is only numerical growth, that's not church growth. Are you getting me? The real growth is that people, members are growing spiritually, and then the church is growing supernaturally. Their strategy, they will just go out, preach the word in power, demonstrate the supernatural. Things were happening. They had no strategy. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. Do you realize that? Look at Acts 2, 41. Notice, before they came to the upper room, how many were there? How many were there? That day in the upper room, how many were there? 120 people. So this was a church of 120 people. And then they that gladly received this is what we are baptized. And the same day, we are there. We are added how many? So they grew from 120 to 3,000 members in one day. How? They just gathered, prayed. You know, that's why we're talking about prayer. Do you realize that before this thing happened, Jesus had told them, go tarry in Jerusalem and be praying. Do you remember? And I showed, how long did they pray? How long did they pray? I ask you this all the time. You flop all the time. So how long did they pray? They prayed for 10 days. Jesus rose from the dead and walked the earth for 40 days and was now ascended. 10 days later, the Pentecost came. So they said, tarry there. He didn't tell them that the Holy Ghost came. He said, just stay there. They stayed there for 10 days praying. They were praying. 10 days, nobody knew them. Nobody noticed them. They were praying. 120, Ramoth, they didn't even have tongues. They were just praying. Father, oh Lord, I wonder what they were praying. I wonder. Oh Lord, our God, our Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jehovah, Shammah, Jehovah. They were just praying. And so, they did that for 10 days. On the 10th day, the Holy Ghost came. Now, they now began to speak tongues. And interpret. I've explained that to you before. What they were doing that day. So you can Ramatoka. And they were doing it in a very crazy way. It was full displays. How did you know? That's why the people say they were drunk. They were not just sitting in one place doing Roshia and Batorate. When you come in, you not say they are drunk. They came in and saw these guys. So we are drunk. Full display. So they say these guys are drunk. And in the power of that flow, Peter stands up and preaches.
You don't know the
you know, I was saying it in church that day. You don't know the gravity of what happened in that meeting. Pentecost, let me explain it to you. Pentecost was a Jewish feast, you know, right? And in that Jewish feast, people come from different parts of the world. Jews come back to celebrate it. So the people that were in that upper room, were people that came down from different, maybe it's Enugu now. People came from Lagos. They just gathered. And Peter finished preaching. And 3,000 of them got saved. They didn't just get saved. They were added to the church. So they didn't go back again. They stayed back. You don't understand? Somebody came back to village for Christmas. Heard the gospel. Got saved. The impact of that revival was so strong, they couldn't travel back again. People left their business and stayed back that place. That's why nobody could contend with that kind of thing. It is not English that can produce that kind of impact in people. It's power. Preaching the word of God in power. That's what can produce it. So they have the strategy. As it were. It will shock you to know that. It will amaze you to know that the early church never held any crusades. As we call crusade today. All this come, bring posters, billboard, and, you know, I'm not against crusades, but I will say one or two things. You know, sometimes crusades, you can hold a 3-day crusade and attract all believers from different churches. Have you seen it? And you make an altar call. The early church never had that kind of crusade. They had two strategies in evangelism. One was one-on-one. The other one was what I call emergency crusades. They come to where people are gathered and begin to talk to them. It was radical. Do you understand the point? They will gather, go and read the book of Acts. Paul will come into the synagogue where people already gathered. He will start talking. And that's, if you read the stories of Christ, John Wesley. Have you read John Wesley? That was what they did. John Wesley will carry mic, carry as in stage, get to a market where people are gathered. It up and start preaching. It's not just, I'm not talking about everything happening in this generation. Real preaching. The guy we talk, sometimes he will start talking. People will start clustering around him. Before he is done, he is not just preaching. It's so much power. Before he is done, more than 5,000 people already clustered around him. Amen? And you will make altar calls. And they will see that with salvation. That's why he told people, they were asking me strategy. He said, my strategy is I set myself on fire. And the world comes to watch me burn. He said, no strategy. So I just start burning. The world comes to watch me as I burn. Are you following me? That's why you see preaching in buses, preaching in classrooms, it's not outdated. You come there with power. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I was saying it yesterday when I was praying. Jesus met these guys on the road to Emmaus. That's Luke 24. He spoke, they didn't know him. So he spoke the word of God to them. And Bible said he opened their eyes. And they now knew it was Jesus. And they asked each other questions. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us? There is such message that makes people start born within them as you are talking. Are you getting me? My tongue is sharp when it comes to ministry. When I mean sharp, I mean I have this anointing working in me, and I'm telling for you to know. Unless you don't give me audience, I can pierce through the toughest of hearts. And that's the power of God. Are you getting the point? I prayed this prayer many years ago. It wasn't an ingrown. I didn't pray it with light. Oh, yeah, I just prayed it. I read the Bible. The Bible says the word of God is like a two-edged sword. I say, Father, my own sword, make it very sharp. Well, that's what I prayed then. But what I actually was trying to say, he said, and I read another place where the Bible said, I'm telling you practically, it's not my word like hammer. You know it, right? And I said, Father, increase my hammer head so that all I was trying to say is, I don't want anybody to be able to resist me when I talk. Are you getting the point? We are talking about the power of God. We're talking about evangelism that is done with the supernatural. That is the secret word to God, church growth. If all of us, if we can build a spiritual church and everybody's on the streets that are burning, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So they grew from 120 to 3,000 in one day. 120 to 3,000. And I sense the Lord saying to someone, don't think that cannot happen in our days. Don't say, well, that was their own. We can grow from 100 to 2,000 in one day. And I am telling you, it is this easy. The secret is what I'm telling you. The supernatural ministry does what the flesh cannot do. It does it. Then they that gladly received the word, you know, they were baptized, 3,000, verse 42. Verse 42, 3,000 souls were added unto them. And they continued steadfastly. So it's not like they were added and went home. Those people that were added continued. I want to show you what the spiritual church looks like. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So we can begin to point out what they were doing. What being verse 42, what was the first thing they were doing? We see they continued, so they were always meeting. Right? What were they doing in their meetings? So they were teaching. Are you following me? We're talking about the spiritual church. They were teaching. What else? They were having fellowship. What else? Breaking of bread. So they were having good time. They were eating. It's not communion. It's breaking of bread. Do you understand? And in prayers. So these guys are having church. Are you following me? They will come. They will pray. They will study the word. They will break bread. They will fellowship. They will teach. Verse 43. And fear. Fear came upon every soul. That fear there is not like they were afraid. There was holy reverence around them. Many wonders and signs. So they were meeting in their church, supernatural. They hit the street, the supernatural. In their church, they are talking in tongues, interpreting it. I have a word for the church. When they hit the streets, they begin to raise the dead. They begin to heal cripples. It was that supernatural. Now, verse 44, you will see how. Now, see the result of that. All that believed, of course, they were meeting, they were together, had all things in common. Verse 45. I'm coming to all of this. And sold their possessions and all that. Verse 46. I'm coming back to this. Verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from. This is where we get the idea of cell. So they were not just meeting in the temple, they were meeting in houses too. You understand? So these guys were meeting. They did eat their meat with gladness and sickness of heart. Verse 47. And praising God and having favor with the other people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, there is one prayer I've always been praying. As a church, people that belong to us, they come to us. Hallelujah. So they went and they were praying. There was a daily addition. I give an example. If a church is having one member per day, that church will be 365 people in 1 year. What? Just one member every day. And a church cannot have one member every day if we don't have a full supernatural church where everybody is involved in the preaching of the word and fully involved in the demonstration of the power of God. Every day. Not only on Saturdays when we gather. Not only on Sundays when we gather. Every day. Their strategy was supernatural. You see power. You notice that in verse 45, he began to have an their finance. The Bible said people are selling their things and bringing it to church. There is such a thing as supernatural funding in ministry. When we release the supernatural, it will not only affect people as by raising the dead, it will bring in funds. I made a decision last year. Everything we must do in the ministry must be supernatural. Any money God cannot give us, we don't need it. Are you getting me? Anything we cannot get by the Spirit, we don't need it. It means we can do without it. So, there was a great move. He started bringing in funds. The things that God is going to do in our midst. Because you know what? I was talking about money on 31st. One thing I believe about money and ministry. God cannot give me a big vision and will not give me money to fund the vision. That would be irresponsible of Him. So all you have to do is let's engage in this thing. Be on the street. Teach. Work miracles. It will bring in funds from everywhere for that ministry. It will. It will. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, the thing was, when we have that kind of spiritual church, it went so far and entered the hearts of men that people began to sell houses. People began to sell land. The thing was just too much. So the revival was having an effect. You know, people say things like, the church doesn't need revival. When we're talking about revival, we are talking about two things. Forget about the term. The first thing we're talking about revival is seen as being saved on the street. The second we're talking about revival is believers growing spiritually. That's revival. Do you understand? Do you understand me? A place where sinners are saved and believers did not grow, that's not revival. That's not revival. Because sinners that are saved and they did not grow can still be doing sinful things even though they are saved. I get the point. It's spiritual growth that will not move them. So you see that we're having real growth here. Spiritual growth, numerical growth, real revival. And you notice, as at verse 47, the Bible said, God began to have favor before people. That's real influence. People began to favor them. People began to like them. People began to get drawn to them. You know, the supernatural is attractive. It's very attractive. When we have a church where a deaf ear was stopped right there, a blind eye will open the other place, someone had cancer, and one member put hands on him, and he got his healing. You know, one of my best people here, you know, shared a story with me. I shared this story before. Last year, he was just with his friend, and I said, that was in your neck. I said, let's just go preach the gospel to people. And they began to preach, just preaching, trying to heal. They actually said, let's go and demonstrate power. So they would say, are you sick? Let me pray for you. And then I don't have the full details now. They meet one woman and said, oh, is anything wrong with you? Are you sick? The woman, they prayed for the woman. The woman got well. He said, well, I'm coming. What they didn't know is that the woman was part of the cleaning, you know, people that are instead of cleaning the place. And they were having a meeting. A group of over how many women? At over 100 of them also. And the woman went in there and announced them and brought them in. See, they were laying hands, so for more than 2 hours, they ran. People were getting saved. People were coming in. More people were coming. You see, and the person that was sharing this story with me, he's not even a leader in our church, just a member. I like such members. Not, you know, not people that are just, they come with their mouth wide open. I receive. You see, there must be a blend. I was talking after our pastor. There must be a balance between giving and taking in the church. Spiritually speaking now. Every believer should be a taker. And every believer must be a giver. Any of the extremes is bad. Do you understand? If all you do, all that matters to you in church is, let me just be preaching the gospel, healing the sick. You don't care about your own personal needs. What is going to happen is that you're going to be giving to people what you are lacking. You'll be giving people and you're lacking. So you should be open to receive from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Healing and all that. But if that's what you are up to, then there's something wrong with you. True supernatural ministry is that you know how to take, you know how to give. So I can take. I will take more. And I can give. And I will give more. So you come to pastor, lays hands on you. You are healed in Jesus' name. And you get healed. The next evening, you on the street. What was done to me, I can do to another. Are you getting me? That's real ministry. So they began to have favor with all the people. The anointing is attractive. You know, people argue the word of God, but they cannot argue power. Is it what people can argue it? The only thing people can do about power is to begin to doubt it. Some things can be so glad you cannot even doubt it. The next thing you now hear is, do we know where the power is coming from? They can't doubt that it happened. You know, the Bible said when that guy was healed, the guy had been forget. These guys were angry. The leaders in the church, they were angry. But they couldn't doubt. The Bible said the guy that was healed, was over 40 years, right? It was practical. They didn't like it. They couldn't do anything about it. So they called them strictly and told them, don't preach again. Don't do this thing again. That's all they could do. You don't argue with the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can argue, they preach to you. That's why the preaching of the gospel must come with power. The preaching of the gospel itself must come with power. And then power demonstration must also accompany it and succeed it. Are you getting me? You must succeed it. We can lay hands on the sick. And they will be healed. And people will have no answer to it. They can't argue it. They can't argue it. Glory to God. They can't argue it. All they know is, well, I don't like that guy, but he stopped the deaf ear right there. You know, when I was in school as JCB president, a couple of presidents I know did not like me. For some reasons, they didn't like me. They felt I was too mean. And I was actually very mean. I was very, very, very mean. When I mean, I didn't have any smile to give to anybody. I always frowned my face. That one was even deliberate. That particular one in that school. Because I began JCB president as a very small boy. I was very young. Of all the leaders I worked with, I was the youngest among them. I was small. Do you understand? Not just small in age, I was even small. Without my tiny looking body I told you about in the day. So, I don't even know how they succeeded in making me just be president. So, the part of me was feeling like these people would not take me serious if I start laughing. So, I started crying my face. Straight. So, they didn't like me for that. But you know, sometimes you come to the meetings, you don't like me, but you can't argue what is happening. You can't argue it. Are you getting me? I'm talking about real meaning. Blind IT in school or the students. I would do meetings. This is about when we display the power of God, people will, we will hold meetings in an auditorium, if you know my school, that has staircase. People will roll from up to down under the face of the power of God. We so might, you might not like me. You might have something against me. But we cannot say that guy is powerful. They met one of my people and began to tell her that they know where this guy used to go and get power. Because you couldn't doubt that. You see, you might doubt many things, but not like what I'm preaching. I didn't get a point. But you know I have power. They were doing a meeting. I handed over then a meeting in the open. And rain, heavy rain, began to fall. I just came there to support my successor. It started raining heavily. So people carried, he was in the hostel, people carried their sitters, they're running inside. So this guy didn't know what to do. So he said, I don't know what to do. Do we close? Do we? I said, let me go. I came off the stage. And I said, I know it's raining. People were already running. But if you want to pray with me, come. People turn back. You understand? You don't need to like me. People turn back. Somebody was looking at that turn back, had pneumonia. She was booked for surgery by Monday. And she prayed with me the rain. After praying with me the rain, I said, anybody here that has a cold-related issue is healed now. I didn't even follow up the case. It was that I was hearing in one fellowship, she was testifying. They went for the test. There was no need for it again. Heart conditions, terrible situation settled. People can act, they may not like you. But you see, power, it cannot be argued. Are you getting the point? It cannot be argued. You know, some of you, why are still having parental restrictions at home? It's because some people have not seen power. That's the truth. They say, don't go anywhere. You've not woken up one day, just come and meet your mom. I say, Mom, I was praying yesterday. And the Lord showed me that somewhere at your back here, there is a pain. And it always comes when you're sleeping the night. You've not told anybody. He say, eh. He say, Mom, and I tell you, the power of God is he can heal you. Put your hand right there. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Mommy bend. And she bends. So, let me tell you. Next day, so you have program. You say, "Unna mataku yana church unaga." I'm telling you, people can argue, but they don't argue the power of God. You can even have something against the thing, but then you cannot say it did not happen. Some things are so glaring. Get the point? You know, if I even argue the method, but you know there is power. So I've heard somebody arguing about spiritual gospel. What I said, well, after arguing, you know there is power. The guy we meet someone. That was met a crippled person that could not walk. He just got there, dragged the guy, somebody that was crippled, and said, drag him and running. Rabbit! You might say, what kind of crude man is that? Well, after dragging him, they were running. At the time, he left the guy started running after him. So you can fight the method, but there was power. That is it. Power, it doesn't have arguments. He said, I don't like, but that is power, sure.
Glory to God. I believe in the power of God.
And that's the season we are in. Not just to be takers, but to be givers of the same. To be givers of the same. To be givers of the same.
Glory to God.
We need to get back to that season where you find your brother, a guy in your hostel, has whatever. Stop forming doctor. Stop saying, have you taken Novagin? Novagin works better than paracetamol. Paracetamol works better. Stop that! Will you stretch your hand and cast that devil out? You are passing along the road. Somebody just collapses and falls. You say, Jesus, Jesus, I'm blessed. What are you doing? Why did the person collapse in your presence? Why is it in your presence that it happened?
Hallelujah. Silver or gold I have not. But such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
You see, you've been in this church. You've seen enough power to know that there is power. So go and do thou likewise. You've seen enough. And this year you will see more than enough to know that there is power.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. You see more than enough to know. There are testimonies I get on my mail that I feel sometimes myself I cannot share them. Sometimes I begin to say, are you sure? Because the power of God is real. So what we want to have this year is a full-blown spiritual church. Not just where we are shouting, I take, I receive. So I prophesy, I receive. Mm-hmm. After that, you know, Pastor, I was reading from the script from a verse. He said, "As you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you will be my." So, who should be witnesses? All that received power. Have you received power? Has the Holy Ghost come upon you? This is all of us. And I want to start winding that because we're going to pray to show you that this supernatural church we are talking about. And I feel a strong burden as I want to start talking about this now. Just sense this. It's the answer to a dying world. In case you don't know, the world is going bad. You know, right? Things are not even getting better. Sin and wickedness is on the increase. The answer to this world is not politics. The answer to this world is not government. The answer to this world is not building more schools. The answer to this world is not intellectualism. There are a lot of you see, knowledge is increasing. People are still getting more and more into pornography. You get our secondary school and universities, cultism is on a whole new level. Have you observed? A whole new level. Small boys just reject to that joining cults. The world is dying gradually. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14. He told them, he said, because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity shall abound. And that says strong, 12 and 14. He said, because iniquity shall abound, he said, the love of many shall wax cold. And I say strongly that we are in that time where iniquity is beginning to abound. Have you observed it? All over the place. You find gay people are getting bolder, even in Nigeria. People say, I leave them. There is a group, the LGBT. I know somebody came to the church some time ago. I won't say this. And after coming, he said he will not come again. That we are against gay people. That he's not going to come again. Now let me say this, I'm not against gay people. Because Jesus died for them. But I'm against being gay. There is no reason you should be gay. There are not fine girls in this world you like. And as a girl, there are not fine boys in this world. Don't you think so? But you see what is happening? It's looking normal to people. I don't do guys. So before you get married, ask the person, are you straight? What kind of nonsense question is even that? But it's on the rise. And I'd say this to you, if you are gay, or you've been a lesbian, or you're a lesbian, or you have, there is help in Jesus. It's not something you continue in and begin to justify it. After all, we are all righteous in Christ. Stop that. There is help. Who is following me at all? But then, that's the digression. Sins are on the rise. Cultism on the rise. Iniquity is increasing. Wickedness is getting stronger. All over the place. Wickedness. Wickedness. You find one of the things that's messed this generation up. You find hard drugs among the youth. Notice, do you know there is hardly any young guy, you know, except he's a church person, that's not into drugs. One thing or the other. If he's not smoking, he's doing India hemp. If not India hemp, he's doing ice. If it's not ice, he's codeine all over the place. Have you got to school environment? School environments, lodges is on the rise. Bring it down a little. They're organizing seminars. They're organizing rehab is not the answer. Rehab is not the answer. It's not the answer. It is the gospel preached in the power of God that is the answer to a dying world. The places we have the highest rehabs and all that, because it's not true. In Nigeria, rehabs don't, of course, we're not doing it well. US, they do it well, right? They have fine rehabs. People are drug addiction is on the rise. People do drugs that is not the answer. One thing that has ravaged Nigerian youth apart from drugs, you find greed, covetousness. This is the only generation that a 17-year-old child wants to drive Benz. Greed. He says hustle. Greed. A 16-year-old child is singing, if you don't make money, wait till we get. What? 16 years? Everything work. And it's on the rise. And we don't even know what we are doing to this generation until the next one comes. Until the next one comes. Greed is now normal. Greed is now hustle. These things on the rise. This, you now talk about intellectuality. Talk about things like atheism. People can say, I'm an atheist. Ah, there's no God. People are being woke. This is on the rise. The answer to a dying world is the supernatural church. We are the answer. And can I say this to you? Do a lecture from now to tomorrow. The government does not have the solution to Nigeria's problem. The solution to Nigeria's problem is wickedness in the heart of men. The government cannot solve it. They can put security. These days, Fulani herdsmen confront soldiers and bring them down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Terrorists, they don't have the answer. I've said towards the end there will be wars and rumors of wars. It will keep happening. Don't you understand? But the world is not hopeless because we are here. It says because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. The answer to iniquity abounding is the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The gospel. The answer to your streets is the gospel. You see cultism on the right. This year, you see cultism, you see prostitution at a very crazy level. You know, when I talk about prostitution, take your mind off the people standing on the street. Those ones are low-class prostitutes. You understand? The real ones are in your class. Who sleep with lecturers for max? Your class, who are, if give names like Slave Queen, the ladies driving Jeep, and she's doing nothing. So what are you doing? He said the hustle is real. What's the hustle? You find it on the rise every day. On the rise of the people. And I'm not saying many things. I was telling one of my people. I said, they say celebrity. And she had fleets of cars. A lady. So I said, what does she do? They say she's an actor. I said, how many films has she acted? Any box movie? Any box office movie? He said, no. Anything. I said, how did she get the money? How many endorsements does she have? Any endorsements? He said, not much. So how did she get those things? He said, hustle. I said, you shut up your mouth. These things have been normalized. And you cannot talk against them. If you talk against them, you're talking against somebody's hustle. No, Pastor, I was talking about it. He says, the gods of this age has blinded their hearts.
But we know where the answer is. Somebody was doing something on Facebook recently. The way Igbo men, particularly Igbo boys, not men, the way ritual is being normalized all over the place. Have you noticed? When you hear G and hear G plus, what do you think G plus is? And things keep getting bad. If the church doesn't act, I fear for the next generation. Because government doesn't have the answer. They think they do. I'm telling you, they don't. When the time comes, they don't. They arrested hush puppy. It released more than 1,000 more people into fraud. Do you understand? You see people now start running. When I say, the guy has money. He said, let me eat like he ate. Let me eat for like 5 years. They don't arrest me. They don't have the answer. The police, they don't have the answer. Matthew 5 verse 13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, that's what he's saying. You shouldn't lose our savour here. I will explain what this means. Say, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14. He now said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give a light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Go to verse 13. Let me show you the Message translation of this. You have Message? Message translation. Let me tell you why you are here. Do you want to hear why you are here? Are you looking at the Bible? Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. That's why we are still on this earth. If not, we would have all gone to heaven. If you lose your saltiness, how will people test godliness? He said, you've just lost your usefulness. So, listen, look at what he's saying in this verse. If you are here and you are not salt in the earth, you are not blessing the earth with the gospel, you have lost your usefulness. It doesn't matter how much you make. That's not why we are here. We are here to be the salt. You understand? We are not here to make first class. We are not here to get money. We are not here to get married. We are here to be the salt of the earth. Look at verse 14. I like this message. Message did a good job here. Look at verse 14. Here is another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. That's what you do with light. Touch your neighbor, say, God is not a secret to be kept. Stop keeping God as a secret. It's not a secret to be kept. In your workplace, God is not a secret to be kept. You go public with it. That's the answer to the dying world. The gospel presented with power. The supernatural church is the answer to a dying world. Look at verse 15. We are going public with this. As we stood on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And that's what I'm talking about, guys. God is putting you on a light stand in your community. It's not to stay under a bucket. See, come out from your shell. Say, I'm just timid. Come out from that shell. Come out. He's putting you on a light stand. You go public with the word. You go public with the supernatural. You go public with the power of God. God is not a secret to be kept. I'm putting you on the light stand. Verse 16. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. See, don't hold back the power of God. Don't hold back the gospel you have. Be generous with power. Be generous with the gospel. Be generous with eternal life. Be generous with life. That is the answer to the dying world. That's the answer. We are the answer. Now, I wanted to say we have the answer. But we are the answer. I started what I'm doing in secondary school. After I left secondary school, I returned back to my secondary school. And that was where the real thing happened. I lived in a school environment growing up. That was, we started taking, God is bringing something. Men raised, miracles happening. That's the answer to church growth. That's the answer to a dying world. That's the answer to immorality in the world. That's the answer to cultism in secondary schools and universities. That's the answer to 419. That's the answer to fraud increasing. That is the answer. Putting God on a hilltop. In Acts 19 verse 20, he said, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's what we are getting to in our city. I will let remind you of this. We will have Start the Fire conference this year. I will remind you of this because you need to live throughout this year fervent and burning, because that's the answer. Everybody, tongues. Everybody, interpretation. Everybody, preaching the word. Everybody, healing the sick. Everybody, working miracles. Everybody, prophesying. We go like a team like that, scattered in different places. A city set on a hill. I share this with you, and then I pray. I've shared this story a couple of times. A man called Jeremiah Lamphere, in 1857, in New York, he started a Wednesday prayer meeting. And this began to happen. In 1 year, that ministry that grew to about 6,000 people, holding in 3 different locations. They had to hold service 5 times. They had such a revival that by 1858, or out of 1859, out of 800,000 people that were in New York, then because New York had a population of 800,000 people. Out of 800,000 people, they got 50,000 saved. That's about 6.25% of the entire populace. One ministry. So when that happened, the revival broke from New York and entered America. America had a population of about 30 million then. Out of 30 million people in America, they got 1 million saved. That was true revival, right? Another man called James McQuilkin, head of this, and he asked that question I was asking yesterday. He shouted, why not here? Why not now? The guy was in Ireland, the head of it. If it can happen in US, why can't it happen here? It can happen anywhere. You know, the Archbishop of Benson, the host, went to Oral Roberts ministry and went to his university. After looking at everything happening there, he said, it can happen anywhere. And he told them, he said, you don't have to be white to be right. He said, if it happened there, it will happen here. And we saw the great move the guy brought back. James McQuilkin stepped out, began the prayer meeting with only 3 men. He was the fourth person. There were 4 in Ireland. By 18 people, they had building filled. That same year, they had 100,000 people that collapsed into the church of Ireland in 1 year. 100,000 people. The story was reported that many people were saved and discipled, that it was recorded for the first time in the history of Ireland, the judges had no one to try. Police had no criminal to arrest. I'm telling you. The people that were not saved were even afraid to sin. And that is what we are talking about. And I tell you, this move can happen anywhere. You know, in Acts chapter 5 verse 27, I'll just close with that. Acts 5 verse 27. They brought them. You know, after they won, they said, don't preach. They kept preaching. So they brought them and set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, that's the question I want you to be asked to this year. Did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. That's what we want to do this year. This woman approach you and say, can you filled everywhere with this nonsense you are saying. You filled everywhere.
You filled everywhere. You filled everywhere with this nonsense. Put up another translation. Did we not warn you? Did we not warn you? Who shabaradas? Ayabarada bashanya. And NLT said, "Did we tell you never again to teach in this man's name?" He demanded. Now you filled all Jerusalem. It was like he sounded like you've littered everywhere with this nonsense. We told you to stop packing those bins here, and now you've scattered these those bins all over the city. That's what it sounded like to them. We will not keep short. We are the answer. The gospel preached with power is the answer to the world. When they sing that song, Jesus is the answer for the world today, it's not just talk. We are the answer. Go back to Matthew 5 verse 13 with message. I want it to be seen it on the screen. We are the answer. We are the answer. We are the answer. We are the answer. Rona Madash. You know, Acts 5:28 with Amplified. I said, you are flooded everywhere with this man's teaching. That like the word flooding. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the godliness of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people test godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in garbage. Verse 14. Let me tell you. He says, let me put it. Here is another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. And that's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer to a dying world. That's the answer to a dying world. That's the answer to increasing atheism. That's the answer to cultism in the world. That's the answer to the perverseness that's taken over this world. That's the answer to covetousness and greed that has eaten deep into the youth. That's the answer. 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 We are the answer. Woo. We will do that Ebenezer song and then we'll begin to pray. Ramanana mano na 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 mashada da da bara do 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 sata ta ya dash. Rode va sata rabata la bashanya. Hey! Rabababababara da da bashadash. Ya da 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 bashanya. Aya oh, Ebenezer, Ebenezer, aya. Ebenezer, my pastor. Do it again. Ebenezer, my help has come. Ebenezer, my help.
Rebeliza. 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 My help has come.
Baby, is my
Kiki can be taken. Umaya can be taken. Calabar can be taken. Akwa Ibom can be taken. Enugu can be taken. Osuka can be taken. We have the answer. We have the answer. We have the answer. We are the answer. We are the answer.
The same. Something will jump into you. Just pray. See. The answer is in us, and we are the answer. More minutes, pray. Before I begin to just pray, pray. We are going to take the city. We are going to Nizaratoko Moshandia. We will litter everywhere with this gospel. We will litter everywhere with this truth. And with the demonstration of the power of God, we will see the sick healed. Light can shine again. Light can shine. Light can shine. The gospel will prevail. We will litter everywhere with the power of God. On the streets, in shopping malls, in hotels, in hospitals, in schools, in marketplaces. Somebody that stays in the same city with you. Hold your hands with a person. There is an anointing coming for cities. Anointing coming for communities. Anointing coming for cities and communities. Someone that is in the same city or environment with you. Hold the person. Hold the person. Yeah. Da 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 da
striving. Ebenezer, my help has come. Ebenezer, my help has come. For cities, as you are holding your hands together like that, you are representing your community, you are representing your city, you are representing that state. Hey, Agaraba Shanda.
Listen, I will share this, and the power of God will break out here. I wanted to play the video, but I'll just tell you. Before Smith Wigglesworth died, he had a meeting with Lester Sumrall. And he told Lester Sumrall prophetically about a great move of God. I have the video on my phone. Maybe I will share it after now. About a great move of God that is going to hit the earth after he dies. He told Lester, I will not see it. He said, but you should try to see it. I feel, and he told him it will be a worldwide thing. He said, no sickness shall be able to stand them. He said, no, it was powerful. He said, I will not see it. He said, but you should see it. I sense that time, with many other prophecies that has gone ahead of us, this is that Kairos moment. We are living in that time and that season. And cities are being handed over to people. The keys of cities, there is power that will break out and you'll be empowered for your city. For your city. For what the Lord is about to do. It's not about pastor. It's not about a person. It's about all of us. And so, thou power of God, whatever is needed for these cities, let it be released from the front to the back, back, everywhere you are standing. There's a distribution. It will start from ministers, pastors, prophets, apostles. You presented here. The power of God is going to sweep through. It's going to sweep through. It's going to sweep through. People who stand in the fivefold ministry, there's something that is going to start with you. At the count of five, you will be empowered. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Distributions. I wish you can begin to see what is actually burning in my heart and how this thing is, how I'm feeling it tangibly. I sense it's like a heavy weight in my heart. And this is going to drop upon the nations and drop upon cities. It's going to drop upon nations and drop upon cities. It's like a heavy, heavy weight. Some of you are coming under a strong influence of the power of God. I will not lay hands. I just got that in my heart. I will not lay hands tonight. But right where you are, as it is in your heart, as the desire is in your heart, the power of God, they catch up with your legs, with your feet, with your hands, with your stomach, with your body. And
The Lord said, the anointing here tonight will respond to the desire in your heart. And so there's a desire for city, for cities, for your nation, for your land, for your community. May that anointing birth a mighty, mighty move in your heart. Look at that. That's a strong move. Can you feel it? It's so tangible. It's so, some of you will not be able to stand. In the next 2 minutes, some of you will not be able to stand. Many of you will not be able to stand. Some of you begin to feel a holy fire burning in your heart. Some of you will feel it in your hand. Some of you will feel it that like cold water poured through your body. There are encounters and experiences. Help. That's what I heard the Lord say. Where you are now needs help. That city needs help. Where you are now needs help. It needs help. It needs help. Many of you will not be able to stand again. You will not be able to stand for many people. I count 10. 70% of people here will not be able to stand on their feet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. To another, from Enugu to Nsukka, from Nsukka to Obolo, from Obolo to Umuahia, from Umuahia to Ebonyi. There's a distribution of the fire of the gospel. I'm still hearing that there's something for people who start in the fivefold ministry. You have a calling as an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, or teacher. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, these are the ones that will move the walk. So right now, of gospel, Father, in the name of Jesus, sweep through this place, sweep through these hearts, impart them with fire, put healing anointings, put the miraculous, put the prophetic, put the power, sweep through here, Father, sweep through here, Father, sweep through here, all over this place, sweep through here, Jesus, sweep through here, Jesus, sweep through.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.